to the phones. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue, good morning to you.
Good morning, Calvin.
And thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning. Let's talk about travel first of all. We were just chatting about Cheltenham there. You'll have seen overnight the announcement as well of US President Donald Trump. That's hugely dangerous for Ireland. I know we're exempt at the minute, but you must worry about what it'll mean for tourism and the broader economy.
Yes, it is a very significant decision, and deeply so, that has been taken by the United States. But it does also raise other issues that show why we have to take such care with how these decisions are made. And first and foremost now is the response back from many other countries who now find access to the United States has been unilaterally suspended, and how they may decide to respond back to that. And as an island country who depends on access to Europe, to the United Kingdom and to America, to meet the needs of our economy, but more importantly, to meet the many personal needs of our citizens, it's really important that decisions in relation to access are taken in a planned and coordinated way.
So reading in between the lines of your diplomatic language, are you angry at the White House for this announcement and the nature of it, out of the blue, very short notice?
Well, I think given that we are actually excluded from the decision that has been made, this is not the place for anger. And all of our focus at the moment is on how decisions can be calmly made and then implemented in a way that makes sense to citizens here in Ireland. No doubt people are aware of the consequences of what this might mean for Irish people that could be in Cheltenham at the moment.
Mm.
And to use that as a case study for the kind of things that the government needs to consider. If you decide that you are going to put in place measures for people who are coming, let's say, from Cheltenham back home to Ireland, what does that mean for all of the other Irish people who travel backwards and forwards between the United Kingdom and Ireland every day?
But if you decide to not put in those measures and some of those individuals come back carrying this disease and spreading it in their community, then you will surely be accused of not doing enough.
And this is why the lodestar in principle in all of this, Gavin, has to be advice that we receive from public health experts in relation to what is the right thing to do.
And is it really the right thing to let thousands of people go to Cheltenham, congregate in a confined area and then come back here?
Well, bear in mind that the kind of gathering that is happening, such as Cheltenham in the United Kingdom, is a gathering that is not happening here in Ireland. We as a government, on the advice of our public health authorities, has suspended or cancelled events like Cheltenham that could be happening in Ireland, such as St. Patrick's Day. And what we will be doing now, in the context of how this virus is developing, is evaluating whether further measures are needed now from a public health point of view.
I understand that point, but I don't think you've addressed my question with respect, Minister. There are thousands of Irish people and others congregating in one place, and thousands of them will then come back here. The dangers that you saw as a government with regards to St. Patrick's Day was that if thousands of people congregate together, the virus could spread. It's not happening on our island, but the impacts of this, if it goes wrong, will be felt on our island.
But this is precisely the reason why we made the decision in relation to St. Patrick's Day and decisions that we've made in relation to sporting events here in Ireland. And what we are doing at the moment is we will evaluate whether further measures are needed to help support and understand the health of citizens who might be coming back from events such as Cheltenham.
Okay. When are you going to make that evaluation?
But at the moment, Gavin, if I could just conclude, our advice at the moment that we have received is the measures that we have in place are sufficient. And I'm sure you're aware that, for example, the World Health Organization in the last number of hours did point to the coherence of what we are doing. In terms of when further decisions are going to be made, this has been made on a daily basis, in fact. It's been reviewed on an hourly basis. Decisions have been made every day. And we will have a cabinet subcommittee on COVID-19. Is planned to meet tomorrow, but we will always look at whether meetings like that need to happen any earlier.
OK, I want you to listen to this. This is earlier on the programme. A man you will know, Michael Harty, recently left Dáil Éireann. He was speaking on this show. He's calling for stringent action. This is part of what he had to say.
I do understand that there has to be a balance, Gavin, but we are talking about a life and death situation here, and if in 3 weeks' time we look back and say, my God, we could have averted this to a certain extent if we had done X, Y and a Z, and we had evidence from other countries that we should have done that, I think we will regret it.
Do you not fear that you'll regret what you're doing, Minister Donoghue?
Well, we've already made many significant decisions to slow down the spread of this virus within our country. And as I said, the World Health Organization has acknowledged the coherence of what we have done. But Michael is a medical professional and a former public representative. And I think it's fair to say that the issues that he raised in his interview with you are being very actively considered by the government. But there is a caveat to that. The caveat is it's not just the making of the decision that matters. It's then the actual implementation of it and the duration for how long we need that decision to be adhered to and abided to. And timing really matters in getting that right. As I said, Gavin,
but timing matters. You can be too late.
Indeed, and we're well aware of that. And I am deeply aware of the health consequences of all of the decisions that we are making at the moment. I'm deeply aware of it. It's a solemn responsibility to be involved in decisions that literally affect the health of our country. That is what has guided us in all the decisions that we have made to date, and that will continue to be the case.
There's acute public concern on this matter. I see it on the text lines every morning, and I'm sure you are very aware of that as well. It is 1 week today since I was in this studio talking about confirmed diagnoses of this disease in County Clare. I'm not asking you about that case, but the point I want to put to you is you are the first national representative from a department or the government to come onto these airwaves to explain what's being done to the people of Clare. We did have regional authorities, but not until Tuesday morning. Has the communications with the public, surely it hasn't been good enough?
Well, what has happened every single day is there has been a press conference from the Department of Health and from the HSE at the end of every day to communicate to the country where we stand now and to communicate to the country what we are asking our citizens to do. That's happened on a daily basis. And what members of your government, like myself, need to do is we're always trying to get the balance right between weighing up decisions, then making them, and then communicating them to our country.
Okay, but when those press conferences are taken...
If this is the first time I have been on your programme on this particular matter, alas, all I can say is that I've been in many other public fora now.
And I respect that. I suppose the point I'm making is that when the press conferences are held, they're taking place in Dublin and talking about a national situation, not just in Clare, but in other communities across the country. There are local concerns because people know what is happening in their towns and in their villages. And there has been next to nothing from government or from the Department of Health or from those officials who are advising you to try and assuage concerns in those circumstances.
I just don't accept that. There has been a massive national campaign going on to communicate to the country what is happening.
But you're talking about national issues, not local issues.
Well, national issues.
And you're following national advice and not extending advice to local communities.
Oh, no, Gavin, I'm sorry. I don't. I think we'll have to differ in relation to this. We're dealing with the spread of a virus. The guidelines in relation to that are the same, community by community, county by county, all over our country. It may ultimately end up being the case all over Europe. And if I haven't been on your programme or one of my colleagues haven't been on your programme, the reason for that is that we've been spending our time trying to understand what's right for Ireland and make decisions that we believe are in the interest of
Ireland. I'm not making the point on behalf of Clare FM. I'm not making the point on behalf of me or of Morning Focus, but on behalf of our listeners, they want assurance. And many of them who get in touch with me and who text this programme say that they don't feel that they have gotten it.
Well, we can only give at the same time assurance that we believe is genuine and assurance that we can stand over. It would be irresponsible of me or the Taoiseach or the government to give assurances in relation to certainty when at the moment the truth is that certainty is not there because we are dealing with a public health crisis that is without precedent. And that is why the Taoiseach made the decision, which was the right decision, on Monday afternoon to spell out to the country what could be the consequences of the development of this virus. And what we have also done in conjunction with doing this on virtually a daily basis is updated the country on what we are doing from a personal health point of view and from guidance in relation to that, and then decisions that we have made to support our national public health authorities that feeds into every hospital, every GP surgery, every primary care centre all over the country. And I think it's fair to say, Gavin, and I do take your point regarding the importance of local media and the need to use local media to ignite this kind of debate and have these kind of discussions. And it may well be the case now across the coming days, weeks and beyond that, that even more of this needs to happen.
And that we'll respectfully disagree on some of that and move on, because I don't want to labour the point too much. Can our health system cope with what may be coming down the tracks?
It's going to pose, or could pose, a challenge to all health systems all over the world. And what we can do to reduce that effect is to minimise the spread of the virus in the first place. And the more successful we are in spreading, in minimising the spread of the virus, the less of a significant effect it will have in our acute hospitals.
What happens if the number of cases that require hospital care and ICU care are more than can currently provided in our hospitals?
And that's why we made the decision on Monday to make available a further €400 million to our health services, precisely to deal with this issue. The two things that we need to do, which are underway, is firstly, look at how we can increase the number of ICU beds that are available nationally. And all that work is now well underway in our hospitals that have these facilities all over our country. And the second thing that we need to do then is look at how within our hospitals, facilities that currently do not provide ICU or intensive care could be remodeled or repurposed to allow them to do it. And that's happening.
But is it going to be enough? Are you confident that our hospitals can cope with what may be coming?
The answer to that question will ultimately depend on how successful we are in minimising the spread of the virus in the first place. There is the possibility that the spread of this virus could happen to such an extent that it poses the most profound and deep challenges for our public health service. And this is why what we need to do first, Gavin, is look at all we can do to minimise that great challenge should it develop.
Okay.
And it goes back, I guess, to the questions you were asking me earlier, which is what we are doing from a public health point of view, from an access point of view, dealing with gatherings, dealing with what's happening in the workplace to try to mitigate the challenge that we could yet have to face.
Financially, last October for the budget, you were quote-unquote prudent Pascal. Then on Monday, we see €3 billion coming out to be spent on this, and not without reason. I'm not criticising that point, but can we truly afford all of this?
Well, yeah, look, that's a matter that we have been grappling with pretty intensively now over the last number of days. And the simple answer to your question is that there is no point, the whole point, I should say, of doing a budget like I did last October is to create the provision to deal then with a real challenge should it develop. Now, with all honesty, when I did that budget last October, I thought the real challenge we would be dealing with would be a no-deal Brexit. And I did not anticipate, nor did anyone, that we would be dealing with the spread of a global virus, which at that point, very few had even heard of, and possibly didn't even exist. But it is the case, for example, that the kind of surplus that we have, we're now on track to deliver for 2020, all of that is now going to be used, and potentially more, to help us respond back to this public health challenge.
So the public finances, they're compromised by this, obviously, but we can afford what has been announced already.
They will be compromised by this, but the whole point of having a surplus in the first place is then using that surplus when you need it. And again, I want to be kind of clear about this. We didn't anticipate that this would be what the surplus would be used for, but it is there. Having a surplus isn't just an objective in itself. The question then is when do you use it? And we're now using it. And that's the right thing to do for the health of our country. And from a public health point of view, we will not be found wanting in trying to put together all the resources and plans that are needed to respond back to what our hospitals, our GPs and our health authorities will need.
I have two more questions for you, and you can be brief. Firstly, because people keep texting me this in, just for clarity's sake, when may we see quote-unquote lockdown, schools closing, events, more events being cancelled, etc.? How quickly could that come?
We're reviewing this on a daily basis, and what I can tell your listeners is if such a decision will be made, it will be communicated very quickly and very, very clearly.
And then just finally, government formation talks are continuing. Michael McNamara, Clare TD, the Green Party and others want to see a national government as opposed to the course of action that your party is going down in discussions with Fianna Fáil. Do they not have a point?
We are willing to engage with parties now to try to put together a government in these circumstances.
Will you engage with Sinn Féin, for example?
Well, we've explained that for many different reasons, our party during the election period and afterwards does not want to and doesn't believe Sinn Féin should be in government.
But this is a time of national crisis, you told me a couple of minutes ago.
In any event, I understand that Sinn Féin have now ruled that out themselves. At times of a national challenge like this, I think there's a balance we need to get right. The first thing is there is going to be a need of a degree of continuity for the people who are making the decisions at the moment to have the experience built up and the understanding of what is now happening at the moment for them to make those decisions. In parallel to that, we do have a democracy duty to put together a new government in response to what people said on the 8th of February. And look, we're just going to have to do both across the coming days.
And will you accept, and this is a promise, it's the final question, will you accept these talks need to be expedited, that this process needs to finish for clarity's sake, for the country's sake?
I do accept that they do need to be moved on, and we were looking at doing that yesterday, and that is due to happen today and soon. But I will also say that across the coming days, there will all be all kinds of decisions that will need to be made, or could need to be made, and we need to ensure that they are made first.
Minister,
but we will absolutely play our part in trying to ensure that a stable government is put together that has the political ability inside Dáil Éireann to get our country through this challenge.
Minister
and I believe our country will get through this challenge.
Minister Pascal Donoghue, thank you very much for your time this morning.